Welcome back to Tumor Board with Hilario and Anish. I'm your co-host, Anish.
And I'm Hilario.
Today, we're going to do a deep dive into intern year of residency. So this is the first year residency we do right after medical school. Mm-hmm. And to do this, we have invited our first ever guest commentator. We're really excited to have him. This is Dr. Timothy Dougherty. Dr. Dougherty did his undergraduate degree at Georgetown University, graduated in 2013. He subsequently was a teacher for 2 years and then went to medical school at Georgetown University School of Medicine, where he graduated in 2019 and then completed his intern year in medicine at the Temple University Hospital in Philadelphia, and is now a PGY4 radiation oncology resident at the Fox Chase Cancer Center, where he is our co-resident and, of course, a very good friend of ours. So, Tim, thank you for joining.
Thanks for having me. Thanks for the introduction there, Anish and Hilario.
Welcome. Welcome. We wanted to talk about intern year because for a lot of us who are in this advanced program, so if you're in an advanced program, you typically would do some kind of preliminary year in a different specialty to kind of get a good sense of your basics of medicine before you go to your actual specialty. So if you're in radiology, you probably do a preliminary year or a transitional year. So we wanted to talk about that year and what it was like and the different variety, because Anish and myself did transitional years, and transitional years are different in some ways from a preliminary year. That's why we invited you, because we know you went to a temple and you did your preliminary year over there.
Yeah. So for me, the main thing was to get into a city, do the prelim year, my intern year, in the same city that I was going to do my main advanced program. And so when you do the match process, you can basically link up the prelim year programs with the advanced programs. And so essentially that's what I did across the board to make sure that I would be in the same city. So I wouldn't have to move more than once. So either, because I did residency or med school in DC, a bunch of programs in DC were chosen. And then basically in all the different cities that I had interviewed to try to make sure I was, wasn't moving too often.
Gotcha. Was there any factors that were linking you back to like Philadelphia, or like you had a spouse or a girlfriend or whatever that kind of like made you want to apply to a school in like Philadelphia?
Yeah, for me, I grew up outside Philadelphia in South Jersey. Anish grew up in North Jersey, but that's a whole other story. My family's in the area, and so I wanted to come back and have that support system, which has been nice.
I didn't realize, maybe I knew this before, maybe I just forgotten, you can link your prelim match list with your advanced match list. So there's like multiple algorithms.
Exactly.
Then you'll match into B or whatever. Right. Okay.
So you say if I match for my advanced program in radiation oncology at Fox Chase, which is in Philadelphia, then I really want to be matched to this preliminary or transitional year programs within that area.
I did not do that. Clearly, I did
you
not.
You must have done that, but it's been so long ago. How did you do it?
No, I definitely did not do that. I think I've told you guys, like, I just needed to leave. Like, I just had to leave the area for 1 year. It was very difficult for me to commit to more than that, just because I knew, especially right on residency, I wanted that family support, friend support and things. But for 1 year, I was just like, man, I got to go. So I literally just ranked programs in other cities didn't correlate my RADONC residency to those prelim or transitional year programs.
Yeah. So I think it didn't matter for you because you were willing to like do intern year anywhere else from where you're actually going to do.
Yeah, that's exactly why.
So that's why it probably never came up. But for a lot of us, similar to you, Tim, my wife was, is in a PhD program over here in the city, right? So I really needed to be in Philadelphia. So that was very key. I had to make sure that I was doing that, algorithm. If I match in Fox Chase, right, then I really need to be around here. And and that's like the highlight of your whole match process for a lot of people, right?
And for me, because the preference was to not move multiple times, I any program that I didn't do an interview for intern year in that city, I basically just linked any program, any intern year in DC to that program, so that I was guaranteed if I, you know, there was no program in that city, I'd be doing it in DC where I had gone to med school.
Right, right. So you're saying that if you, let's say you apply to radiation oncology program in Chicago, for example, and say you you didn't have a transitional year or a preliminary year program in Chicago that you were interested in, then your default transitional year or prelim year was going to be in DC because you were already living there and you didn't have to move when you got into that.
That's right. Yeah, that's exactly
is that what you're saying? Right, right. So you really bent on not moving
that's,
twice.
For me, I think that's a giant pain. So that was high up on the priority list.
Right. It was a big pain. It was
because you had to move there and then move back, Anish.
Yeah, exactly. I moved to Chicago and then I moved to Philly after. It was a lot of moves like every year. And I had moved once the year before in med school. Mm. So it was just like every year I was just moving.
Right. Well, Anish is sort of like a social butterfly. So I feel like moving.
I don't know about that, but
it's not a huge deal for him, right? So, Tim, how was intern year for you? Because, you know, you did preliminary year in internal medicine. So you did medicine for most of the year. Can you kind of break it down into how many months of, you know, internal medicine you did on the floors, like ICU, night float, and that kind of stuff?
You know, I forget the exact monthly breakdown, but I want to say at least 6 months of medicine floors, I believe. And then additionally to that, there was some ICU rotations, and then also some night shifts. Basically, like, you're on nights for a week or two at a time. So maybe like 7 months total, but again, I don't really remember it exactly. And then the rest were kind of electives kind of peppered throughout the year.
Gotcha. How many electives do you remember?
I feel like I had a decent amount of electives. We had the 4+1 type program. So you were on a more difficult rotation for 4 weeks at a time. And then you got 1 week where you got to choose an elective. So it kind of roughly circled around that kind of breakdown, but there was definitely a little bit, you know, sometimes it was 4+2 or there was some wiggle room there.
With that system, did you feel like you were getting enough time doing an elective that you may be interested in? Because you start on a Monday and then by Friday, you're probably like done, right?
So you didn't have like 1 month of a elective block, right? You have
that's right. So
in.
So 1 to 2 weeks at a time. Honestly, I think myself and most people treated them more as a break than anything else. Where, you know, the 4 weeks you're in the hospital, you're working, you know, significant amount of hours, and then you maybe can decrease that to 20 hours, let's say, or maybe even closer to a more normal work week. And just kind of could rest, you know, get some self-care in there, exercise a little bit more. So that's what it was like for me. I don't know how it worked for both of you guys.
So, Tim, let me ask you, you went to, you know, a real medicine program, you know, like Temple Hospital, like an academic institution with you know, large patient population. Did you think about applying to a transitional year program, or maybe it was a little bit more of a mix of months, or did you want that? Like, what were you looking for when you went to intern year? Did you want that kind of really strong foundation in medicine?
Yeah, so I definitely did. I feel like Hilary and I will disagree, and maybe even you, Anish, as well. But I actually knew when I was finishing up medical school that I really wanted to do one, you know, hard year. And so I specifically sought out a prelim year. The main reason for that was radiation oncology has a very reasonable residency. It's all outpatient. It's kind of business hours, which is really nice for your lifestyle as a resident, which is very unusual. So for 1 year, I was like, you know, let's see what it's like to be an internal medicine resident. And so I really wanted to just be a part of that and see what they went through. So that was my main rationale.
So it wasn't necessarily the knowledge base. It was the fact that you wanted to feel like you went through the trenches.
I don't know. It was more of a feeling. I think it was more observation, like see what other people go through and experience that. Just to kind of get a sense of the fact that they have to do that for 3 years and then sometimes go into fellowship and what that whole process is like, and just kind of multiply it from my 1 year experience.
Gotcha. Yeah, I would say I did apply to prelims as well, but I made a decision not to apply to academic hospital prelims. And I felt kind of burned out for med school. I felt like I needed, you know, I knew intern year I was going to work and whatever, but I just felt like I needed like a...
Something more flexible?
Yeah, something more flexible. Like I just, something that I knew that I didn't want to get even more burned out, especially before I started, like, you know, what I actually wanted to do.
Right, right.
I don't know if you feel the same way, Hilario.
So for me, it was important that I stayed here. So I applied to all the prelims and all the TY programs that were around. I just happened to like the vibe that I got at a TY program that I went to. If I had to do a prelim, I probably would have done it at Temple. But I also went to medical school at Temple, and I really didn't want to continue doing the intern year over there. In terms of like, you know, did I do TY year because it was a lot more flexible? Yes, because I also wanted to do some electives in radiology, because I realized that as a radiation oncology resident, we're going to be looking at a lot of images, right? And we don't really get any like radiology like rotation when we're in residency. So I actually did a month and a half of radiology.
Oh, nice.
when I was in 10 years. So that flexibility to be able to do whatever electives you wanted to do. And I think I had like maybe 4 months of electives. So that appealed to me. And also it had a relatively reasonable work time. You know, you're there at 7 in the morning, and by 5, the shift is turning over. And right. then the short call people are coming in. And then after that, the night floor person comes in. So that, you know, scheduling appealed to me in terms of what I actually wanted out of intern year. So, yeah.
Yeah, I also want some electives. I, you know, when you go on, you know, like SDN, like Student Doctor Network, there's always forums about, oh, what are the, you know, the cushiest prelims? I don't know if they're true or not, because I did not get, you know, the interviews at those programs. I know there was some like legendary one in Denver and like some other legendary one in Washington State. But I always thought it was funny where, you know, there's like, it's like known like what, you know, some of the more easier ones, or even some ones that offer you other things like global health electives and whatever. And I applied to a few of those too, but you know, I didn't get interviews there. I actually applied to a few prelims and TYs in Philly, but no one interviewed me. I did email them a few times, but what can you do? You know, you're limited as to what you get. So,
right. Yeah. I mean, definitely, you know, TYs get a rep of, being cushy. But there are some TYs that are not so cushy.
Yeah.
I think mine was probably right in the middle.
Where, I think mine was in the middle as well.
Kind of flexible. You know, you work reasonable hours. And you know, you get to go home, because at the end of the day, I didn't want to do internal medicine. Right. So you could only hold my interest for so long. Right.
Yeah. I just want to have fun, man. that's what I wanted to do.
So, Tim, well, what would you say was the best parts and hard parts of intern year for you?
I feel like just the amount of hours that you're working is kind of tough. You just kind of, essentially, when you're on the floors, you know, you're in the hospital, you're kind of getting there, you leave late, you go home, you basically eat and go to sleep. And so that, I think, is probably the biggest challenge, is you don't really have a lot of flexibility to do some of the things that you maybe would like to do on those days. I will say one thing that was actually somewhat strange about that year is I feel like it was like the most regimented I had been. So like I was getting up the same time every day. Even on my days off, like actually I kind of enjoyed, I'd have like a Tuesday off. I'd have a random Tuesday off and I'd, you know, wake up early.
Right.
And I'd do something. A lot of times I'd go play golf. I'd play golf with all the retired guys. So it was me and like 70-year-old guys playing golf in the morning on a Tuesday. So that was really fun. I mean, we don't really get that now. You don't have a Wednesday or weekday off.
No, we don't.
But
yeah, I mean, right now our schedule is mostly like, you know, you're working during the workday and then you get the weekends off if you're not on call or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
Yeah, yeah, more conventional.
Yeah.
Right. I think for my TY, though, we never really had this random, like, weekday, like, off. It was usually, if you're going to get off, it was going to be at a weekend. Either you're getting one day off or you're getting both days off. And it was rare to get both days off. They call it a golden weekend, right?
Yeah.
Because that's the structure in medical school, how they worked it for the interns. But at Temple, they just gave you a random day.
Yeah, I mean, there's cons for that, too.
For sure. Like,
you know, if you don't get enough weekends off.
Then yeah, you can't do anything with it.
You know, you just might not be very happy. You just can't meet other people or whatever.
Right.
Yeah, that was the biggest thing, because when you're off, no one else is off.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
Right. But on the other side of it is that, you know, if you'd have doctor's appointment or, like, actual stuff that you need to get to, if you have a random Tuesday off, you can actually make it an appointment. Yeah. Right?
And running errands was very easy on those days. Like I could go grocery shopping. No one was at the grocery store.
Right.
So like those little things, I enjoyed that, but it's kind of sad that that's the thing that I grabbed onto. Part.
So can you tell us a little bit about the not so pleasant stuff? You know, you felt regimented during intern year, and that, you know, may be good or bad, depending on who you are, right? But what was the challenging things about intern year that you felt like made you grow as an individual?
I feel like just seeing so many people who are constantly very sick, and a lot of times feeling helpless in a lot of ways, because the same people would oftentimes come into the emergency room and come into the hospital, and you really didn't feel like you were helping them. And then to combine that with just the long hours and just kind of a feeling of helplessness at times, I think that was pretty difficult. But, you know, I think at the end of the day, you had to grab onto small victories. So those are things that helped a little bit. But yeah, I think just the overall sense of, you know, am I really helping some of these people, and, you know, just kind of cycling through. So that was definitely a difficult part of the year.
Gotcha. Yeah, I would say that I felt very soul sucking, like, part of intern year. I just never felt like I was actually helpful. I mean, I'm sure I was, you know, especially in certain situations, but I just never felt like it. You know, we'd come in, be like, okay, your potassium's low. I give you potassium, and then when you leave, it's gonna be low. It's gonna be low anyways. You know, like, am I actually helpful? Like, not really. or like your magnesium, like, okay, I guess it's low. Let me replace that too. Is it actually helpful? You know, I don't know.
Oh, it is helpful to the patient.
You know, it's just it to me. I just never got. I'm not saying it's not. I'm just saying I never got that feeling. Like most of what I felt was like I just wasn't really being helpful, and then, you know, and then I guess people will get better, but like I don't know, I just never felt very fulfilled in any way.
Right. Well, and that may be why you're not in internal medicine.
It's definitely why.
I mean, but I guess like there's certain things that are like can be very mundane about internal medicine, you know, or like kind of managing very small numbers, right? Yeah. And keeping at it and being like, you know, like faithful, if you want to call it, like, and like it's like tedious work, but like I think, you know, some of the patients really do appreciate it. So in terms of the challenging things that probably about TY here for me is that I felt like Temple was like was a hard place, right? Temple, you know, med school, hospital, you know, it's a very tedious place to be, right? There's a lot going on. There's a lot of people in need, right? Based on the location too, where Temple is at. So you can feel like you're helping people, but also that's a lot of work. But I think like in a lot of ways, I was sheltered from like maybe the business part of medicine, right? Where people don't have insurance and having to figure out like social work, like how are you going to discharge this patient, right? And where are they going to go? I think when I was interning here, at least in my program, we took charge of that, right? And we work with a social worker. So like if having to figure out where people were going to go after they discharged from the hospital, that was very disheartening for me because like I was never really that close to that. Right? Mm-hmm. So for me, that was the thing that was like, wow, you know, for a lot of the people, they're sick and they come to the hospital. But at the same time, some of them are like, kind of like relieved or happy to be there. And because they're getting food, right? They're getting heat, right? Especially in the winter time, they're getting heat and they're getting someone to take care of them. And then when you start discharging people because you think they're getting better, it's actually sometimes not good news for, you know, some patients. I think that really was something that I really had to like work out and like kind of, I felt really very disillusioned about the idea that I just like help this guy, right? Like, you know, I have this person
and now who
get
knows?
Better, but like they, you know, it's not really appreciated in some way, right? Because the thing that really matters for them right now is that they can actually have a place to put
right that social safety net is a big thing, you know. I will say I was kind of similar in a little bit different but a similar way. So I did my intern year like a community hospital, mm-hmm. That was part of a larger health network, mm-hmm. And there was another hospital north of us, like a 15-minute drive, mm-hmm. That was also a community hospital, but affiliated with an academic institution, and their patient population was very different. It was like wealthy, like, you know, you walk in, there's like this massive like atrium with like a beautiful piano and stuff. My hospital's not, was not like that. And I said, because we had a lot of like nursing home patients, mm-hmm. like, man, like neglected nursing home patients. And it really feels, it's like, you constantly feel like you can't do anything. Cause you see this guy with this like pressure ulcer because obviously he wasn't moved, and you help your, you know, you do your best, but you send them back and it'll come back anyways later for whatever other reason. Mm. And a lot of our hospitals, basically everyone understood the finances well. Like they could tell me, okay, if we have this patient say one more day, it's going to cost the hospital this X amount of money. Mm-hmm. If we give this treatment, it's going to cost the hospital X amount of dollars.
Right.
And they would be, and they knew exactly how much, you know, this insurance reimbursed for this, Medicare reimbursed for this, Medicaid reimbursed for this. Like they would know all these numbers. And like, that was not like an environment I was in before where no one really like knew anything, but these guys, they did know everything, like, because they, I guess they just like had to, they sit on all the meetings of the hospital and whatnot. So it's interesting because I think there was definitely many decisions, patient care related decisions, that involved those discussions of like reimbursements and cost and, you know, kind of all this stuff, but where I felt like as a med student academic institution, like no one really talked about that. I was like, wow, like medicine in the real world is can be a little wild, you know?
Right.
And also one thing that I found, I think a little bit disillusionment from, and this is definitely not the case for you, Tim. I'm doubtful you saw this, but there was quite a few like hospitalists who also took care of patients in the nursing home. And mm-hmm. so then when they would come in, like we had to staff with them, and then, you know, I would just call them on the phone, and then sometime they'd come whenever. But it was just really like, you know, it was just very different because some of these people also weren't like, you know, they may have been other specialties who are also taking care of nursing home patients and not necessarily like internal medicine board certified doctors. So it's really weird. It was definitely an interesting experience for sure.
Right. So, Tim, did you feel like third year or fourth year of med school like prepared you for the hustle and bustle of internship?
I feel like as much as med school can, in hindsight, yeah. I mean, I personally wasn't, you know, I didn't really like medical school that much. I think the main reason was because I could never kind of figure out what my role was as a medical student, just because there's such a hierarchy within medicine. Looking back, I definitely felt like I was prepared through third and fourth year. Now, with that being said, there's really nothing that can truly prepare you for when you're the person who's responsible. And even as an intern, you have a lot more responsibility, but there's a lot of people above you who can help you out. But you do have a considerable more amount of autonomy and power and responsibility. Which was actually very exciting for me, but at the same time, it's a totally different transition and vibe than when you're a medical student. So that's how I felt. I enjoyed that transition at being an intern, but you know, a lot more work, and it really kind of things really crystallize like what's going on. And for whatever reason, like you're really able to be aware of everything about a patient, whereas a med student, maybe it's a little bit harder. So that's how I felt.
Yeah, that is a really different feeling, that feeling like you know what's going on with a patient. Mm-hmm. I did not feel like that as a med student.
Yeah, I mean, also like med students, you're like in your head about trying to impress because you want good grades. And I feel like there's a way that can sometimes get in the way of like what you're trying to learn on the rotation. Like certain things didn't really sink in for me until I was an intern. I was like, oh, this is what that attendant was saying.
Yeah, because you're like forced, right? You're forced to like be that doctor in that position. Yeah.
Right. Do you remember like certain times where you were like scared? Because I know I was scared on night float, and I had night float very early on. I didn't have any backup, any like senior.
Oh yeah, you're the person
on night float.
Buck stops with you.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember the first day of intern year, I was in the ICU and I had never done an ICU rotation before, so that was kind of a shock. And I just remember first day of intern year.
Oh damn.
Yeah, and the crazy thing was we did the handoff in the emergency room, because the fellow who was giving us the handoff was doing chest compressions on a patient who had an active viral load, HIV, and got a finger stick, or got basically stuck somewhere. And so he needed to go to the ED, get blood draws. Mm-hmm. And so he's there getting ready to complete his shift as we're hearing the sign out list. And I thought that was normal, but that was very unusual to see him on a stretcher.
Right.
He's on a stretcher, and we're you know, hearing about the list for the day. So that was my first day. I'll never forget that. That was wild.
was that also a 24-hour shift?
No, you know, they were kind to us. I actually never did a 24-hour shift. So I think that's also unusual for prelim years. So I think every 7 days in the ICU there was a 24-hour shift. Basically it usually ended up being your last day of the ICU rotation that you got ready to hand off to the next team. But the way it fell, I never had to do one of those.
Gotcha. Definitely had a couple of my co-TYs started on ICU 24 hours, and they didn't even know until we got our schedule literally 2 days before. And it was like, okay, so 2 days from now, 24 hours. I'm like, what? Like,
right.
You know, I would say I don't know how your first day, Hilary, was. My mind, Tim, was not as I think eventful, but I was like a little scared. You know, I was like, oh my god, like, am I putting this order in correctly? Oh my god, should I give this guy Tylenol, or is I gonna give the liver failure?
Yeah, so I mean, I think like imposter syndrome is what they call it, right?
Imposter syndrome
is like really something that interns really have to like really deal with. And I know that because like even before you start interning, you hear a lot of like friends who are not in medicine like saying, if you're getting sick, don't go to the hospital in July, because that's when all the new doctors are.
Fake it till you make it.
Right. And for me, I don't know. I don't know if I agree with that sentiment so much. Tim, did you feel like you had some kind of imposter syndrome getting into intern year and like trying to actually like be the guy that, you know, takes care of everybody?
I feel like, I mean, a little bit. I felt like I should know certain things when I didn't. And I definitely feel like in the beginning of the summer, you don't really know that much. As like I was way more comfortable and proficient by the end in, you know, whatever that is, June as a PGY1.
Right.
Then in July as a PGY1. So very, very different. So a little bit of the imposter syndrome. But I also think it's important just to mention that even if you have imposter syndrome, I feel like you should never say that you know something when you don't. A little unsolicited advice here, but never try to tell somebody that you know what's going on when you don't. I feel like honesty is always the best policy. That's just unsolicited advice there, little plug.
Right.
The reason I say that is sometimes I feel like there's a feeling that you want, you just want to save face or say something. Right. So that's definitely there. I could feel that for sure.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I agree with you. I think that is one way that imposter syndrome can take you, where even when you don't know, you're saying yes, right? And people, you know, pretending that they know what is going on. And then there's another way that I feel like imposter syndrome can take you, where because you feel like you don't know, you're always trying to learn and admit when you don't know and like getting better at what you do, right? And so that the reason why I kind of mentioned the whole, you know, if you're sick, you don't want to go to the hospital in July thing, why I don't like that is because I feel like doctors that are trying to learn and impress and like learn into the roles that has been set for them. So they say you're a doctor, right? And you're supposed to help someone with their heart failure, right? You don't know all the information. So if you're someone who is motivated in the right ways, right, you want to know all there is about heart failure, right? And I feel like I wouldn't mind having those doctors treat me, because they're trying to get better at what they do. And they usually like reading the latest thing that is like there, right? In terms of evidence-based medicine, especially in July, everybody is like really fresh and want to really do well, right? So I feel like in July, actually wouldn't mind going to the hospital in July, because all the interns are like eager and bright-eyed, and they do have some, you know, they do have someone watching over them too, right?
There's more resident. I think there's more supervision.
Right, there's more supervision because everybody knows that they're starting fresh. But I don't actually think that period of time is as, you know, dangerous or risky as people make it seem. But anyway, I don't know what you guys think about that.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think it's just as a time as any other time. I don't think it's like any worse really, but just because I think there is more resident and hospitalist like supervision over every decision being made, right? And like, you know, making sure that people check the intern's work and whatnot.
Well, I'm sure there must be data out there that, you know, looks at mortality and other factors different months of the year.
There might be
Actually do remember reading about that probably in med school. It wasn't any significant difference in terms of like from what I remember in terms of outcomes between the different months. The months that like actually got kind of crazy was usually related to like the holiday time around November to December time. And there could be a variety of reasons for that, but July, which is summertime, you don't get a lot of people rushing into the hospital necessarily, right? Because people want to be out and like, you know, enjoying the summer. But around the November, December time, at least on the Northeast, right, is when people usually,
EDs, you know, are busy.
Yeah, because people are going to Thanksgiving, eating very salty foods, you know, getting the heart failure into like exacerbation, and like, you know, you have to kind of diarrhea them. So you get a lot more people because the system is overwhelmed. So there might be a little bit more mistakes being made there, and that has nothing really to do with just
totally anecdotal, but on Sundays in Philadelphia when the Eagles were playing, no one was coming into the hospital.
Right.
And then the game would finish, and then you have a flood, you know, flood of people coming into the emergency room. They were just holding out for the birds. I don't know if it's actually true, but it seemed to be the case.
It sounds exactly something would happen in Philadelphia. So, Tim, were there any times you felt, you know, maybe you had messed up, maybe you had made a mistake, and did that lead to any bad outcome? You know, what happened, and kind of what did you take away from that? How'd you grow from that?
Yeah, I'm sure I made plenty of mistakes, like missing somebody's electrolytes or missing a lab value, and just kind of not getting to the right intervention soon enough. Now, thankfully, it was, I think, also being an intern, nothing was so consequential that it led to a bad outcome. But I honestly have to think about it a little more. I'm sure there's definitely a spot there. Do either of you guys have any experience with that?
Well, yeah. I mean, I don't know any intern that hasn't made a mistake.
I
think we all probably made mistakes. Thankfully, like, I haven't seen any mistake in the hospital from a resident that has led to a very bad outcome in terms of like fatality or something like that. But yeah, there's been times where, like, you know, even just kind of reasoning things out and like trying to, let's say, like diarrhea someone because, you know, they have heart failure, but then like also, you know, taking into account how much of that is going to impact their kidneys, right? And then like that leading to that person spending a little bit more time in the hospital because the kidney, you know, it's not, you know, the kidney function is not as great as it was before, right? And a lot of that is like those are like, if I want to call it, I wouldn't necessarily say like mistakes so much that like sometimes we can get zoned in on a problem that's right in front of us and then end up causing another problem. And I think over the course of my intern year, knowing how to balance those two things, especially for heart failure. And I use that example because it was the more common way that like I felt like I made mistakes in terms of like trying to solve one problem and then causing another problem, right? And then learning over the course of my intern year that like, okay, well, this is something that I can actually balance in this way. Like instead of getting Bumex or Lasix out and like diuresing them, making them feel better, like, in a very short time, I could do this and watch the kidney function very closely. So, I mean, these are some of the things that I feel like, you know, maybe I made mistakes on.
So I remember this guy came in for likely aspiration pneumonia. He was living on the streets, and we kind of just wanted to get him up and out as quickly as we could, you know, make sure he was stable and everything. And I remember we were going to order a barium swallow study or one of the swallow studies just to see, you know, how his swallowing function was. And I remember I was like, nah, we don't need that test. We can, you know, do other things to kind of get him out the door. And then, of course, like the next few days, he's like continuing to spike fevers. And then we finally get the swallow study like a few days later. And you know, he's got like significant aspiration, and that was something that really surprised me, and I think probably could have helped him out a little bit sooner. Now, in the grand scheme, he would probably eat his own diet when he left the hospital anyway, but at least, you know, we would have had a better sense of what was going on. So that was definitely something that I failed to realize in that specific person in that case.
Right. Yeah, I think most of those, you know, quote unquote mistakes, so to speak, are really, yeah, that ability to kind of recognize and then retrospectively think about, oh, maybe I should have seen this or this, you know. I feel like the motto for intern year, maybe you guys would agree with me, is don't kill anyone. That was literally like, you know, just the lowest bar, obviously.
Right.
But you just want to make sure that you do your best, that at least, even if you make a mistake, it's not fatal.
Right.
Right. And I mean, I think it speaks to also the system that we find ourselves in, right? You're an intern, you have probably like a second year resident, right? And a third year resident. And then you have the attendant, right? And you have a bunch of med students that are also there. So there's a lot of eyes looking at what you're doing. And even if you made a true mistake, you have someone, like some safety net, someone looking over you that can help correct that, right? Right. And that's where rounding comes in, right? What were your feelings about rounding, Tim? Because Anish and I talked about rounding, and I think we both don't like rounding, right? Yeah.
We both are not big fans.
Right. And rounding was like, you know, the thing that like I dreamed about, you know, being a doctor, wearing your white coat, and then, you know, saving patients. And then when I actually got to doing rounding, I was like, oh my God, I really don't want to be standing here for 3 hours, you know, talking about the same patient kind of thing, right? What were your feelings about rounding?
Yeah, I feel like I share those feelings. I mean, and it was all dependent on the attending a lot of times. Some could be more efficient than others. I think there was a way to do it very quickly and efficiently and get a little bit of teaching. But overall, you know, for better or for worse, I think I would maybe sometimes zone out when it wasn't my patient being presented. It was maybe the other intern's patient. So yeah, that was definitely a thing. And I think you're scrambling in the morning to try to get all the information ready, make sure that you're taking care of the person appropriately. And then it comes around and you feel like you're kind of rehashing everything. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it can be a little bit tiring, but yeah, those are my thoughts. It's sometimes it's more efficient, less efficient, but not my favorite experience. If that's what you're right. asking.
Right. Right. And did you, you know, I feel like, you know, the experience of intern year also can be very like varied out there. I know the folks in like New York City hospitals where sometimes they have to get their own labs, right?
Yeah.
But you didn't really have to do that, but I'm curious to hear what your experience was. Do you feel like you were having to do some work that wasn't necessarily in your job description?
No, I think whenever we had to do like a cortisol stim test, if I'm remembering those correctly, we had to draw the blood draws. Basically at the time,
specifically
at
for
the
that
time intervals.
Test.
Yeah, I think what you give like ACTH and then you check the cortisol level like 30 minutes later and then an hour later. And then, so we had to draw that. We couldn't have the phlebotomist draw it. But I, you know, I felt like that was reasonable. And then we'd also put a lot of ultrasound guided IVs in, which I was terrible at in the beginning, which I always felt bad. Mm-hmm. I'd stick somebody like a million times, but then got better at it. And then I enjoyed doing them by the end of the year. So I always like when I got the call to come down for an IV. But yeah, I thought it was pretty fair, honestly.
Mm-hmm. It sounds like you didn't have to do some stuff that like wasn't really in your description. I feel like a lot of residents end up being social workers. I think that's one thing that like, you know, a lot of hospitals do not invest in. It was your responsibility to help fix a problem that the patient came in with, right? And now it's your responsibility to figure out where they're going to go, right? And I feel like we don't necessarily get that kind of training, or we're not equipped to really do that.
And you don't have enough time.
Right, also. And you don't have the time to do that. So for me, I think that was one of the big things where, you know, resident have to figure out where someone was going to stay. And I was like, that sounds like a social problem, right? And as much as like I am, you know, and I feel like I do have the heart to do that, right? But I didn't have the time. I think that probably depends on the population you're serving, right? If you're in a wealthy area, you're never going to see any of that, right?
Yeah.
But, you know, unfortunately, like, you know, if you really want to serve people underserved areas, right, you have to know something about social work. And I think that was a thing that, like, I really got really sometimes angry about, that these people weren't being served properly because I didn't know anything about social work, right?
Yeah, I
think
that's fair.
Yeah, I mean, I agree for sure. I think my experience with a med student in New York hospitals, I wanted to go to a program specifically where I didn't have to do all the A lines, all the, you know, the the IV thing, you know, putting in IV as a social work stuff. I was like, I just can't do it. Just exactly like they need people who are better trained, and so we can use our time where our skill set is most useful.
I mean, I would have to say that I really enjoy putting what's called IJs.
Like,
it got to a point. It's just like a good way to pass the time for me, because I really didn't want to just like keep rounding. And one of the ways I could get out of rounding was that if someone needed a line, and I was like, "Oh yeah, he can do it for you," and then I would just.
You get out of it.
And
makes sense.
Of course, you know, I get to present my patients, you know, before everyone else, right? And then go play some line somewhere.
It's good as a option if you want, not as a mandated thing.
Yeah.
So Tim, just to kind of talk about, you know, we've talked a lot about the intern yourself, the medicine of it, but how about outside of work? How was your social life? Did you hang out with your fellow residents? How did you guys have fun?
So, I mean, honestly, you don't really have much of a social life. I didn't really have much of a social life. I remember on New Year's watching fireworks at 9 p.m. from my bedroom, which is actually nice that I could, you know, see out there, and then just going to sleep. So that was kind of sad, but it doesn't mean that we didn't hang out. Gotcha. So there were definitely opportunities where we went rock climbing once, maybe twice. And so we were able to, you know, went to a bar a few times. But then COVID hit, and that really kind of stopped everything. So I mean, we had maybe, 8 months before that happened. So, I mean, it was maybe like once a month to kind of put a number on it.
Okay. Interesting. Yeah, that was very different than my experience, I think. I definitely, obviously, there were some times where I didn't meet anyone. I was on nights. I had like 8 weeks of nights, which was 2 months, really. But I think our schedule was very different. And I think one thing was I knew I was there for only 1 year. Mm-hmm. So I forced myself to go out and explore the city as much as possible. Mm-hmm. But I was fortunate, and maybe you guys as well. Like, I feel like I had a really good cohort of people. All became very good friends. Still keep in touch.
Co-residents?
Yeah, cohort of co-residents. Okay. We kept in touch. We used to go out to eat. We used to, you know, hit each other up, go out to bars, hung out fairly often. And in the hospital, so did you guys have like a resident room where maybe you would meet sometimes or do work or something?
Yeah.
So we had a room, we called it the ping pong room. So they had a ping pong table. So if you were like downtime during, you know, patient stuff, you'd go, you'd hang out, we'd play ping pong or just chill and catch up and, you know, during the work day. So that was actually kind of fun. And we all got to chat and vent and all that stuff.
Yeah. I mean, I think I probably like in the beginning, we spent so much time trying to get a bunch of people together.
Mm-hmm.
And we didn't realize that was actually not going to happen, because we are all like, our schedule depends on each other, right? So like, it's like, oh, hey, exactly. can we get like 5 people together? I was like, no, we can never have 5 people together, right? Because if all 5 of us on ICU want to get together, then it means nobody's going to be in the ICU, right? So I think that was the thing that we, you know, we'd realize quickly that, okay, well, that can happen. So you get together with pockets of people in your co-resident group.
How many interns did you have?
I think there was 14 of us.
Okay.
Who were in a transitional year. And then I think that some of the, you know, people that I really enjoyed hanging out with in my intern year were actually the IM, like
resident, the categorical IM
residents. Some of them were like really cool and funny, you know. So I got to spend time, and mostly what we did was just like, you know, going out to restaurants and just eating, because that was the thing that, you know, could really bring everybody together, food, right?
Yeah.
And then obviously COVID happened, so we didn't go anywhere else after that. But yeah, that's, you know, was mostly how I spent, you know, in 10 year. And the rest of it, of course, was like trying to see family, you know. in between all of that, because I lived in Philly and, you know, I have family close by, so I could try and like go see them on maybe on the weekend that I have 2 days off or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. And so I guess like this probably would be a good time to maybe briefly talk about, you know, burnout, right? So we know that, you know, doctors, we're busy, and sometimes this, you know, our work can have an emotional toll on us. Did you feel, Tim, that like you had a good support system, whether it was outside of medicine or whether it was in your program, that catered to your wellness or your mental health to some degree?
Yeah, I felt like I had pretty good support system. So I, you know, lived with my girlfriend and she was very supportive, and my family was in the area, so that was very helpful. So a lot of things outside of work. And then I think within work, again, like back to like seeing and taking advantage of the little victories, where you thought you might have helped somebody, was helpful for mm-hmm. for wellness. So trying to like really mm-hmm. latch onto things. So those are hugely important, because it is a tough year, and to try to keep yourself healthy and in a good mental spot.
Good. What about you, Anish?
Yeah, I felt I was all supported. I lived with one of my best friends from medical school. He was a categorical IM resident in a different program, but we would, you know, it was nice to go back home and have a really good friend there. And then, honestly, I became really close with my my fellow interns, quite a few of them, and we just kind of supported each other, and you know, kept in touch with family and stuff. But I felt, you know, the program itself did not have a allocated, you know, wellness support, but I felt like we were all there trying to help each other, which was nice.
Gotcha. Yeah, I mean, I think that's pretty consistent, because you know, I felt like maybe that, you know, wellness really became a thing in medicine maybe around 2015, 2016, when I was starting med school, and they started slowly trying to, like, you know, raise awareness about, like, burnout and, like, mental health and all that stuff. But at the same time, I felt like how they went about it was, like, you know, getting us together to talk about mental health issues and burnout and all that kind of stuff. And you would spend like maybe half a day talking about this kind of stuff, but then your work, the thing that was actually, you know, contributing to some of your burnout was waiting for you to get back to. And I felt like sometimes, like, you know, having just a half day off just to like do whatever, run errands, walking the sun for you know for a few hours, or like just like have a break, disconnect a little bit from your work, was going to be enough than just sitting in a room. I think like when our programs try to like support us, you know, was, you know, they actually ended up giving us work to do in regard to mental health and burnout. I was like, I kind of, if I'm like tired and I feel disinterested and I feel like you know, that maybe I'm a little down, right? Or even depressed about what I'm doing. The last thing I need is to just sit in a room and talk about that kind of thing with everybody. Sometimes it's easy as just, you know, disconnecting and having that kind of break. I think that disconnect for me was like, okay, this isn't where I'm going to get that support, right? And on the other hand, I have family, right? You know, my spouse, you know, my in-laws, my parents, and, you know, siblings and friends that live in the city, because I've lived in Philly for like 10 years now, right? They, on the other hand, kind of understood what it takes to support someone in medicine, right? So maybe that was good. And I feel like, you know, our programs probably need to like really think about what it means to actually support residents in like residency in regards to like burnout, right? I feel like they're doing it by actually restricting you and like like kind of smothering you a little bit.
Yeah, I would just add that I felt one of my biggest grievances of intern year, and I don't know if Tim, if you would agree, is I feel like the program just constantly made you feel like you're just like a body, you know, just like to move wherever they mm-hmm. want. You know, I feel like my schedule actually changed multiple times mm-hmm. and it's really annoying because I, you know, couldn't plan for things, but it would just be like, okay, you know, we need someone. You're just going to be put into this situation. Right. And you're just this person. And that definitely was not helpful for like a wellness standpoint, just because they didn't feel like they valued you, mm-hmm. even though you're mm-hmm. the one really doing a lot of the patient care groundwork.
right. Yeah. So, Tim, did you feel like intern year, you know, prepared you for a future as a radiation oncologist?
I would say no. You know, radiation oncology is a very specific kind of specialty and very different than internal medicine. That being said, I do think it imparted a lot of valuable experiences, right. Mainly the fact that you get to interact with internal medicine residents to see what, you know, their careers are like, what their residency is like. And then also just as an intern, you do a lot of coordinating, whether that be with social work, your team, mm-hmm. The patient, or other medical specialties. And so I feel like that was, mm-hmm. was learning how to communicate to other medical specialties and what they expect and what they're kind of looking for. And so I feel like for those reasons, intern year was valuable. But as far as, you know, knowledge base, it wasn't as valuable. And, you know, I like you had mentioned, Hilaire, you had 6 weeks of radiology. I'm only able to get 2 weeks, which was very helpful. But I think having access to, you know, radiologist for maybe a month or two my intern year would be very helpful. So yeah, those are my thoughts mm-hmm. on the pros and cons.
Right. I would probably echo the same thing. There's a lot of ways that I thought intern year was, you know, a little bit of a waste of my time. And there's a lot of ways that I felt like also kind of helped me, you know, work in you know, that multidisciplinary like environment. When even knowing when you need help and asking someone else to come in and help you with your the problems that you have, I think, yeah, it helped me with that. But ultimately, I think I picked a TY year because I knew that I was going to be able to do other things besides just internal medicine, right? And, you know, I did some radiology, like I mentioned. But also, you know, I was taking step three and I was like, I really want to like be able to have time on an elective to be able to take that, right? Instead of being encumbered, right, with just being on the floor the whole time. So the answer is probably is like yes and no. Did it really prepare me for radiation oncology? Probably helped. Yeah. What about you?
I would say I do agree that the coordinating of care, trying to you know, figure out how to communicate to another specialty very directly and succinctly. Mm-hmm. Was definitely the most useful part.
Right.
I think the actual medical knowledge was really not, I think my medical knowledge was really stagnated after some months and never improved, but that's okay. Cause I don't necessarily need that. So,
right. Well, Tim, any last words for us? We want to thank you for, you know, spending your morning with us and helping us, navigate through what intern year really was. You know, your experience was a little different from ours and mine was different from Anish's. So it was kind of good to hear what you had to say.
Thanks for having me on the podcast. The last thing I just want to say that I had already mentioned before, which I found helpful, the kind of the small victories. And one of those being going back and trying to see the patients that you're taking care of a second time in the afternoon, maybe when you finished up a lot of your work, and if you can spare the time to just chat with them and see how they're doing. I feel like that gives it a little bit more personal level when instead of, you know, 6 a.m. when you're waking them up and mm-hmm. they're like groggy and they don't know what you're talking about. I was that those conversations were very helpful and I got a lot out of those rather than the ones in the morning and rounding. But if you have time, that I always found that to be helpful. So for what that's worth.
Oh,
thank you. Is there anything, any book you've read or movie you've watched recently that you'd recommend?
Don't give me, I'm watching Love Island season 8 UK right now, which is entertaining.
I've never seen it, but Tim did tell me there's 60 episodes per season. Yeah, I had no idea. 60 episodes, now, 1 hour.
We usually skip.
Oh, wow. That's a lot.
All right. Thanks for joining us, Tim. And for the listeners out there, join us next episode when we talk about relationships and dating in med school and residency.
Bye-bye.